We're doing the letters of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. We're up to page Mem Dalid, Mitzvot Ben Dam L'Chaberot, the mitzvot between man and his fellow man. So in the work Or Elchanan, where this letter is quoted, so he quotes from the Yalkut Reuveni. The Medrash says that when Hashem came to create man, he gathered all the heavenly beings and all the earthly beings, and he said, each of you should give a part of yourself for the creation of man, so that he will be all-encompassing. And there are many midrashim that discuss that train of thought. And that's one of the interpretations as to why it says, Na'ase Adam, let us make man, who is the us. So one interpretation says, God says to the earth, let us, you and I together, make man. According to the Medrash, it means let us, all of the creation together, unites in the formation of man. So, now we begin. The Mishnah in Tractate Peah tells us, Eilu devarim she'adam ochel perotehin ba'olam hazeh, the following things, man eats the dividends, the fruits in this world. That time, and the reasoning behind these mitzvot, having a fruit in this world, what are we talking about? Being kind to your fellow man, honoring your parents, each are a mitzvah of kindness. So the reason is because dehavitov l'shamayim v'labriyot, the person is good both with heavens, he's doing Hashem's mitzvah, and he's also good with his fellow man. Uvaze ne'emar kiferi ma'aleleihem yochelu, and about this, the prophet Isaiah says, people eat the fruits of their actions. V'kasheh. Now, that works for all of the Mishnah, except for one thing. One thing is difficult. T'chashiv b'matnitin, that the Mishnah also enumerates, gam Talmud Torah, also learning Torah. Uma tov labriot yesh bezeh, yotel mi b'chol mitzvot, sheben adam l'makom. Why is that different than any other mitzvah between man and his creator? You're learning Torah, very good. But why does this fit in with a list of mitzvot between man and his creator? We could explain based on what the work Nefesh HaChaim, that's Rav Chaim of Elazhin, that he writes, just as our sages say, the world was created for the sake of Torah. The verse says, if not for my covenant, the Torah represents the covenant that God connects to humanity. Meaning, people ask to learn Kabbalah, and I always say all of Torah is Kabbalah. The concept that God will communicate with man is also Kabbalah. The concept that God tells man what to do, why does it matter to him? He is limitless, and we are so finite. He is omniscient, and we are barely a modicum of intelligence. But why, he needs us to do something? The whole concept that God will talk to man and command him, that's a Kabbalistic concept. You're taking the greatest thing in the world, you're talking about God, and you're saying, he spoke to you, yeah, and he gave you mitzvot. So that's very difficult. That's Kabbalistic. People say Kabbalah is giving a spiritual explanation to the physical. Well, taking the spiritual and applying it to the physical world. God cares if you honor your parents. God cares if you put on tefillin. The whole concept, all of Torah is Kabbalah. So Hashem gives us a Torah. Okay, why? We understand it. So we're doing mitzvos that God told us to do. Hashem told us to don tefillin. Am I affecting my fellow man? I'm learning Torah. Is it any different than any other mitzvah Hashem told me? I'm doing the mitzvah. Hashem said, why is learning Torah in this Mishnah? So the Nefesh HaChaim says that the world was created for Torah. Hashem says, I created the world for the sake of Torah. And we say Torah is that covenant between us and Hashem. Why is Torah Kabbalistic? Because the whole concept is a concept of Hashem connecting to humanity, something that's Kabbalistic, something that's way beyond us, and Torah represents that connection. You want to pray, you could stand all day in prayer, but you could stand all day in prayer in front of the window too. You could pray to the window. Does that prove anything? So you pray to God. Does that prove anything? But when God gives you a Torah, that proves a tremendous. God says, here's what I want. That proves a connection. The fact that I talk to him doesn't prove a connection. But when he talks to me, that proves a connection. So the Torah is referred to as Briti, God's covenant. God says, I'm connected to the world. The Ran says that that's why the first commandment Hashem had to speak. Why did the first two commandments have to be from God? Because they're counterintuitive. You wouldn't think God is going to talk to us. You wouldn't think that he would tell us he cares what we do. That you wouldn't think that. The first two commandments Hashem has to say personally so that we'd accept that such a concept exists. So that's called Briti. The Torah is God's covenant with the world. And Hashem says, if not for my covenant, I wouldn't have created the world. I have no interest in the world if the world is not going to connect to me, if there isn't a connection with the world. K'mochen kiyum ha-briyah b'chol rega talui b'tumut Torah. The Nefesh HaChaim says a very well-known concept. He says, every moment the world is around is contingent on learning Torah. That's what they always used to teach us in yeshiva. That why did God create a world in a way where half the world is day and half the world is night? So that there will always be someone who could learn Torah. Where the world is spinning. Ve'ilu, and the Nefesh HaChaim says, and if it would be, if there would be a single moment where no one on the planet was learning Torah, then there'd be no existence. Every moment the world continues to exist from Torah. That's the great concept of the Nefesh HaChaim. So then anyone who's learning Torah, he is part of keeping the world in existence. So then he's the one that's benefiting the world the most because he's keeping the world around. So his question was, why is learning Torah listed in this Mishnah? The Mishnah says, the following things, you reap the benefits in this world. And then his answer is, because this is also something you reap the benefits. You're keeping the world around. U'beperusha roshem katavatam. And the Rosh, who was the Rosh? Rabbeinu Asher, was he Ashkenazi or Sephardi? You said Ashkenazi, you said Sephardi, you're both right. He was rabbi in Ashkenaz. His rabbi was the famous Maharam of the city of Rutenberg, of Germany. And then when they wanted the Jews to pay a ransom, they put his rabbi in prison. His rabbi told the people, don't pay, because if you pay, they'll keep taking rabbis and putting them in prison for ransom. And when the Maharam passed away, he left word for his people, don't pay, let my body rot in prison, but don't pay the money. And he said, if you give in, so they'll just do this to other people. And the Rosh was his top disciple. He was supposed to be the next rabbi. So he said, they're going to come after me. They'll put me in prison for a ransom. So he ran away from Germany, and he became rabbi in Spain. So that's why you're also right, that he was rabbi in Sfarad also. He was rabbi in both. So the Rosh, in his commentary, writes that the Kadosh Baruch Hu chafetz b'mitzvot sheben adam l'chavero yoter mi'mitzvot sheben adam l'makom. The Rosh says an amazing concept. He says, God prefers the mitzvos you do to your fellow man more so than the mitzvos that are between you and Hashem. When you do a mitzvah to your fellow man, Hashem says, you got a double whammy. You did a mitzvah to your fellow man, plus you did what I told you to do. So it's a double mitzvah. You gave charity. You helped someone, and you did a mitzvah that Hashem said. So it's a double mitzvah. So that's the concept the Rosh writes. V'kashe, the Rav Hanan Wasserman asks, D'beperg mishmeto parich, the Talmud asks in Tractate Brachos, V'ligmor mivitalamta, d'kvod abriyot tochem mitzvot deoraita. The Talmud says we have a mitzvah. The Torah says, "Vitalamta mehem." You're walking down the street, and your neighbor's dog ran loose, and now someone needs to bring it back. But you would never be caught with a dog. You see a newspaper lying on the floor. Someone lost their newspaper, but you wouldn't pick up that newspaper. Yeah, I try not to be caught with a newspaper in my hand. because they're usually not so clean. And even if they claim their pictures are clean, their content is usually not so clean. And even if they claim their content is clean, they're not getting people to read them because they're saying positive things about people. So I'm not a big fan of newspapers. So I don't bring newspapers home. So let's say my neighbor lost his newspaper. Do I have to pick that up? I'm not a fan of that stuff. I don't like holding that. People are going to think I'm reading it. So the Torah says sometimes there are things which the Torah says if you see your neighbor lost an item, you'll ignore it? No, give it back to your neighbor. So our sages say, why did the Torah word it that way? You'll ignore it? V'italamtamehim? That could also be read in with a period, without a question mark. You'll ignore it. The Torah worded it in a way that it's a question of whether you put a question mark or a statement. So the Talmud says, yeah, from there you learn that there are times that you'll ignore it. Where it's beneath your dignity, you're going to be embarrassed by it. So then that overrides. Ignore it. So if you have the chief rabbi of Israel walks out of his house and he sees someone's garbage pails out in the street, he wouldn't go pick up his own garbage pail in the street. He'd ask one of his kids to do it. He wouldn't do that. So he has to pick up his neighbor's garbage pail. So the Torah says there are times where it's beneath your dignity, you don't have to deal with it. So the Gemara asks, well, maybe we should learn from there that any time a mitzvah contradicts human dignity should override. I would keep Shabbos, but if I don't shave and I come to shul unshaven, everyone's going to see me this Shabbos unshaven. It's going to be an embarrassment for human dignity. Let me shave on Shabbos. Maybe human dignity should always override the Torah, the Talmud asks. And the Gemara answers, no, that's the exception because the Torah told you that because it involves monetary matters, for money your human dignity overrides. Because you're talking about returning someone's lost object. For money, the Torah says help him, but human dignity overrides someone else's money. Upirush Rashi, and Rashi over there explains, Mamona kilmei isura, that money is less important than a prohibition. If you're talking about transgressing Shabbos, that overrides dignity. But money is less important. Wait a second, but it's your neighbor's money. So why doesn't that override? We just learned that whatever is doing kindness to your neighbor, that's a bigger mitzvah. So why did Rashi say money is less important? We find a different line in Talmud where the Talmud asks, you wouldn't transgress just for money. So you see from that, that you have mitzvahs between you and your creator, and they're not less important than the mitzvahs between you and your fellow man. The Hashem says, for your fellow man, you can forgo it sometimes. Don't Torah says your prohibition towards Hashem overrides someone else's money, even though you're hurting your neighbor. You have a mitzvah, let's say on Shabbos, right? Your neighbor, what do you see? What would be an example of that? You see a fire. You see a fire. You're out in a field, and there's no one around, and all around this field is dry wasteland, not dry, I'm sorry, earth. There's earth. The fire can't spread anywhere. The only thing, or let's take a different example. You went for a walk and you come out to your neighbor's field and you see all his wheat. Now the wheat is muktzah, right? Wheat isn't edible on Shabbos, it's muktzah. And you see a wild mule is coming and he's eating all the wheat from the pasture. You're not allowed to deal with that on Shabbos. The wheat is muktzah, the mule is muktzah, everything's muktzah. So the biblical prohibition, or the rabbinic prohibition, will override your friend's money. Wait a second. So then you see that a prohibition will override what your friend needs. We just said that anything you do for your friend carries a greater weight than a mitzvah between you and God. Yet we see numerous examples where the mitzvah between you and God comes first. And your friend's money, well, you don't have to. You don't have to worry that much. Wait. So the Rav Chanan Wasserman says, and we could even ask the question on using a double logic. If I help my friend on Shabbos, so I even did a biblical mitzvah because we just said God told me to help my friend. So now why doesn't that mitzvah override that mitzvah? So he says we have to say, we're up to the bottom paragraph. It's Rich Lomar. De be mitzvah she ben adam la chavero, ma she yesh ben ben adam la makom, hu betolada me aprat she ben adam la chavero. When we say that when you do kindness to your friend, it's God saying so, that's an offshoot. That's not the prime concept. The prime concept I'm helping him is there's a mitzvah between me and him. V'chevan de'ad ben adam la chavero mitzad atzmo kil misurin she ben adam la makom nitchem pneim, mimela tulek haklal ben adam la makom baze. You could view it as, and this answers many questions, you could view it as the Torah says to give charity, so when I give charity, there are two components. There's the component that the Torah wants me to care for him. There's the component that Hashem told me to give charity. That's the famous question. Am I giving charity because I care for the poor? Or am I giving charity because God told me to give charity? So Rav Hanan Wasserman says, the fact that you're doing what God told you is an offshoot. It's not the prime concept of the mitzvah. The prime concept is the Torah said you should care for him and give him the money. Ah, there's also an element. Once you're doing it, you have to realize that you're also doing the will of Hashem. But that's not the prime concept. The prime concept is it's between me and him. The Torah gave me a mitzvah to help him. Ah, if the idea, if Hashem being in the picture is just an offshoot, it's not the core concept, so then where I don't have the mitzvah to give him, then Hashem isn't in the picture either. It's not like a mitzvah where Hashem says, don't eat chazir. That's a biblical mitzvah. I can't eat chazir. You'll tell me, but you'll lose a lot of money if you don't eat chazir. Okay, I'll lose that money. I can't eat chazir. I have a biblical mitzvah. But when the Torah says, help your friend, the Torah says, you help him. And if you've helped him, so then, when you've done that mitzvah, you've also done what I told you. Ah, but then there can be instances where you don't really have a mitzvah to help him. And the component of you've done what I've told you, says Hashem, that comes second. That's not core. It's not the same as a mitzvah, don't eat pig. Don't eat pig as I told you don't eat pig, Hashem says. So when you don't eat pig, you did what Hashem says. But when you helped your friend, Hashem says, I tell you to help him. Where that's not relevant, you can't say, ah, but I'm doing what Hashem said. That's the secondary component. Yes. That's okay, for I'm that not, you need systems.
I'm not going to stick it out with my fellow man because he's doing sin and I probably shouldn't be there for him or, you know?
No, you're 100% right. That's the practical application of what we're learning.
So what I'm saying is, how do you know? There has to be some sort of like a point where you say no. I mean, Aaron should have probably said no, right?
There's one point which we're missing here. 2 points.
The thing you're saying is about you're saying you should be there for your fellow. Right?
Saying when you do mitzvah for your fellow man, the two components come as. One is an outgrowth of the other. They're not both there from the beginning. You could think, I'm sitting here, God told me not to eat pork, I won't eat pork. I'm sitting here, God told me to help my friend, okay, I'll go give charity, I'll help my friend. Ooh, God told me, so I'm doing it. No, God told me, help my friend. After I've helped my friend, I've also done what God said.
So, yeah, okay. But it doesn't give you an option. So it's better to help your friend than... Like, it's better to do the mitzvah of helping your friend than to be like... Let's say, like, I'm learning Torah, but, like, my friend is outside and he needs help. What do you mean? Like, to help your friend is better mitzvah than to do another mitzvah?
No. So in order to know how to apply it, you need... Chazal gave us distinctions each time. I mean, why should any of us be sitting here learning Torah? Maybe we should be out giving hot drinks to all the passerbys. It's cold outside.
No.
Saving the whales.
Saving the whales, right?
No.
Or promoting peace in Rwanda. I'm not joking. I'm saying, so Chazal gave us a system. Chazal told us, the system is, I have to do mitzvot. The system is, when a mitzvah is not in front of me, it's not incumbent upon me. I don't have to run around looking for all the people that need help. I have a responsibility of what's here. The system is that I don't have to stop my mitzvot. If I'm doing one mitzvah, I don't have to stop to do a different mitzvah. Sekhmin zapatumina mitzvah. The system is that in learning Torah, we say every word is its own mitzvah. So you can't say, I'm learning Torah, I don't have to do another mitzvah. What you could say is, if no one else is going to do this mitzvah, then I have to stop my learning for it.
But
that's the only time. Mitzvah she'efshar la'asot al-yidei acherim. Each case, it's a broad system, you're right. He's tackling one aspect of that system. Obviously, there are going to be more details.
Okay, so the system is saying you have to do the mitzvah of helping your friend. If there's something that no one's going to do, you have to do it. It's a mitzvah that no one's going to do. So you have to do that mitzvah.
If it's in front of you.
If it's in front of you, and you can
do I don't it. Have to go to the Tachanah Merkazit and look for the people who could use a hand getting on a bus.
No, if like there's someone that speaks English, he's trying to explain what's his sickness, but no one understands because they all speak Hebrew and you speak English, and you have to do that mitzvah.
For sure.
So that's basically what Hazal's saying.
He's discussing a different aspect of it.
Okay.
He's discussing one component. He's saying, when we look at a mitzvah between man and his fellow man, and we look at it as I'm doing what Hashem told me. Where does that aspect of I'm doing what Hashem told me come into the picture? You could have a person who says, I don't care if that poor man drops dead. But the Torah says I should give him charity, and the Torah says I should smile. So I'm going to walk over and smile and pull out a coin and say, be well. I wish you such good health. And I will try to be convincing about it because there's a mitzvah. Then I'm going to turn around and walk back home and think, I really don't care if he drops dead or not. The Torah said I should do it, I did it. The Torah said I should smile, I smiled. I did my thing. That was very nice to him. Then you have a person that says, I care for people. I'm a humanitarian. The Torah also says that's very nice, but I'm a humanitarian. And so wherever he goes, he tries to help people. And every so often he checks, hey, I even did a mitzvah, very nice. But God is not a part of the picture. I'm doing it because I want to be nice to people. He tries to go to bed and he says, how could I lie down in this bed? There are people freezing outside. And he gets out of bed and he goes looking for the homeless in his town and he brings them home to sleep in his house. And then he does, the Torah didn't say, how could you do that? And there are people like that. I know people who every stray animal they see, they bring home. How could you let these animals suffer in the cold? You tell them they have fur, they've been managing before you, they'll manage after you. Doesn't matter. But how could you turn a blind eye on that stray cat? So they'll bring them home. I'm saying that's their argument. Now you'll ask them, are you doing a mitzvah? They'll say, well, I guess, yeah, that's a good point. But what does God have to do with it? You have to be a nice person, you have to be a kind person. So I gave two extremes. You have one guy who really doesn't care about other people. You have another guy who cares so much and has nothing to do with Torah. Which type of person does the Torah want me to be? Says Rav Chanan Wasserman, Torah wants a different thing. The Torah wants you to do it, and you have a mitzvah to be there for him. So your neighbor needs help, you come and you say, I want to help you, how can I help you? And your best friend gets married, you go and you're happy at his wedding because you like him and you're happy at his wedding. Now, there's an added point that comes out of it. You, as you're going to the wedding, you say, wow, I'm doing the will of Hashem.
What if you have a wedding?
Wait. Before the example. So, what Rav Chanan Wasserman said is, it's not that I'm doing it just because Hashem said so. It's not that I'm doing it just because I like the guy. I'm doing it because the Torah gave me a mitzvah to help the fellow guy and I care for him. And the idea that Hashem told me to do it is secondary, but it's there.
So you're doing it because you love the dude.
Right, but you're supposed to love the dude.
You're supposed to love the dude, but what if you hate him?
So that's a good question.
You know, they have terrible roommates, and you have to love them anyways because the Torah says
so. It's complicated. That's a good question for a Thursday night. But coming back to Rav Chanan Wasserman, right? So we're in the middle of Rav Chanan Wasserman. A few minutes, he wants to ask, we can get back to it. Odrega. Okay. I'm just going to finish. There's an added comment here from the Rambam. I'll quote the Rambam that he quotes and try to translate. The Rambam writes in the end of the Laws of Thievery, קשה עונשן של מידות יותר מעונשן של עריות, שזה בינו לבין המקום וזה בינו לבין החברו. The Rambam writes that bad traits can end up carrying a more grave punishment than the illicit relationships, because that's between man and his fellow man. So that certainly sounds like between man and his fellow man, is it carries more weight. It's a complicated explanation that he gives. But it's not so important for what we learn. Let's leave it. Okay. Yeah.